Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
Today, I wanted to just speak a message to you. Actually, I heard this message. I'm preaching somebody else's message today. I just want to go ahead and confess that. But it really inspired me, and I thought our church needs to hear this word. So I'm going to give it to you today. I'm going to give it, you know, you when you receive a message, as a pastor, people go, can you preach somebody else's message? Well, that's what we do every Sunday. Where when you open up the Bible, you're preaching somebody else's message. But I always follow this rule. As long as I digest it, gets into my spirit, I live it, then you can preach whatever. I hope you preach my messages. I hope when you leave here, you go out and you go, let me tell you something. You don't even have to give me credit. I don't care. How many of you know I got it from somebody else too? We all got it from somebody else. One of my heroes used to say, there's nothing new under the sun. If it's new, it's not God. So we're all preaching somebody else's message. When you open up that Bible, somebody wrote it first. Are y'all with me? So I want to, I've digested this, want to re-give this to you. I was real excited about it. Because over our years of ministry, and it's been 30, which is hard to believe, it's been 30 years of ministry, probably the greatest question you always get asked by people is, what does God want me to do? What is God's will? Everybody say God's will. Yeah, what is God's will for my life? That's kind of the big rock questions. And so we've been asked that a zillion times through the years. What is God's will? What does God want me to do? And it almost seems mystical, like, you know, you got to go and get in the woods and pray, and then, you know, the angel will visit you, and then you'll know it. But it's really not that mystical. In fact, today I want to help you in a very practical sense of how to know the will of God. What is God's will? In fact, I'm going to share with you God's will for your life and my life today, and you'll see. So we what does God want me to do? That's a big decision. You know, what is God's will for my life? Those are big decisions. How many of you hate making decisions? You go, I don't even want to. I'm just whatever. Just give me a couple of options, because that's too much. Yeah, decisions. And that's what I do, really, as a pastor, is make decisions. That's all I do. If you're on your own business, that's probably all you do, is make decisions. Decisions all the time. But I do know decisions are important, because where you are today is probably a sum total of decisions that you've made in your past. Just where you are. If you don't like where you are today, you could probably trace it back to some very bad decisions. And let me tell you, probably the biggest secret of going forward to changing where you're at first is owning the bad decisions that you have made along the way. You can blame your mama and them if you want to, but you're going to be stuck in the same place for the rest of your life blaming your mama and them. Right. Your daddy. Yeah. My daddy. Well, you know what my daddy did. I'm going to say it Cajun. My daddy. Well, my daddy did. You know, we're all a sum total of decisions. I've made some very bad decisions in the 28 years we've been married. 28. Heidi's shaking her head yes. Baby, please don't be so enthusiastic. He has made some stupid bonehead decisions. How many of you have made some stupid decisions? Okay, the rest of you are lying. In church. Going straight to hell. You lie in church. Now, we've all made some, we've made some bad decisions, but there's some, if decisions that you made yesterday got you to today, then today's really important, because you can make some decisions today that will change your very future. So today's real important today, and I'm not just talking about today in this service, though it is. I'm talking about today, decisions that you make today. What's God's will? Who am I going to become? What am I supposed to do? And so I know you've made some stupid decisions. If you just think back over some of the stupid things that you've done. How many of you dated somebody you shouldn't have dated through the years? Let me see your hand. If you're married to them, don't raise your hand. How many of you bought cars you shouldn't have bought through the years? Yeah, you bought a house you shouldn't have bought. How about this? You ate things you shouldn't have eaten? I mean, just look. If you go, I got to get some of this weight off, just look back at the decisions that you made along the way. So today's important. What was that? I don't even know what that was. Y'all messed me up. How many of you have ever, remember, I know some of your decisions followed statements like this. Hold my beer. You remember that one? Or watch this. Yeah, you go, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Decision. And today we have a lot of choices. And I know the millennial generation, the young people that are coming up, my children's age. And there's some great positives about this generation that's coming up. But one of the things, they've got a lot of decisions. They get so much information, it's tough to make decisions. There's a couple of pet peeves I have about people, and if you're one of them, please forgive me, but I'm just going to get this off my chest today. If I go into a Starbucks and there's a line, and then you finally get up there, it's your turn, you finally get to the plate, swing the bat, you know what I'm saying? You've been in line for 15 minutes, surely you could have decided what you wanted to drink. How many of you are with me right now? Somebody gets, I can't decide between the latte and the macchiato. I don't even know what those things mean. You know what I mean? Or Baskin Robbins, you ever gone to one of those 31 flavor ice cream places and they're all there and they got the little baby spoons? Sample. And they finally get to the line and they go, I don't know. Can I sample that one? I mean, they just keep sampling things all along, and you're just waiting, going, make a decision, people. Are you with me? Can I get an amen to this country? That's tough. Decisions, we got to make them. Let me just say this to you. Sometimes, and I'll quote Pastor Jacob, and I've quoted him often on this. I just echo this. It is wisdom. Sometimes no decision is the worst decision. Not making a decision at times is the worst. And so I want to talk to you today. What does God want me to do? It's big. What is the will of God for my life? That's big. What's God's will? What is it? What does he want me to do? But I want to say to you that God says very little in Scripture about our futures. He always talks about today. Very little does he, what is important to him? And I'm going to just give you two thoughts today. And hopefully the Lord will speak to you, teach you, and that you'll walk out of here knowing, well, I know what the will of God is for me today. And then we can walk out and fulfill the very purpose of God for today. All right? Let me give you number one, what God's really interested in. Number one, he's always interested in the who before the do. I want you to read that with me. Who before do. And what does that really mean? God is more concerned about who we are becoming than what you are doing. Let me say it again. God is more concerned about who you are becoming than what you are doing. In fact, the book of 1 Thessalonians gives you the will of God for me and you today. And I'll read it to you. It says this, God's will is for you and me to be holy. What does that mean, holy? That's a good Bible word, holy. That means separated, set apart, that we're different than the world. That means we act different, we behave different, we believe different, and that he is going to set us apart and be different from the world. That God wants us to become, let me give you another definition, God wants you to become more like Christ today than you were yesterday. Everybody say Christ-like. Yeah, that we start becoming. John the Baptist would say it this way, when he prayed, let me decrease and let the Lord increase, that I would become more and more like Jesus each and every day. It's why I'm so excited, many of you going into small groups, because I know when you get into small groups, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and so you're going to be teaching and learning from one another, and you're going to be changing little by little, and I can't wait to see what God does in your life on the other side of that. Amen? So it's always who before do. The Bible doesn't talk about our careers. It doesn't. Our calling is to be Christ-like. It's always character before calling. It's always who you are before do. Who before do. Now, I want y'all to encourage me just a little bit today. I need some. Would you say it's the will of God that I be a pastor? Okay, balcony, I didn't hear one word from y'all. How many of you think, Pastor, I think it's God's calling and will that Pastor Eugene is a pastor. I think that's the will of God. How many of you think, Taylor, y'all heard Taylor sing today. Some of you heard Taylor sing for the first time. And you do you believe it's probably the will of God that Taylor be a worship leader in a church? Yeah, but let me say this to you. That's not primary, that's secondary. How many of you know if I stood up here, I could be the best preacher in St. Landry Parish? It's a good place for y'all to encourage me. Y'all missed it. Too late. That's sympathy. I don't want it. I could be the best preacher in St. Landry Parish. Dejan, were you clapping? Because I can't. No, you weren't. Okay, I could. Y'all don't mess me up again. I could be the best preacher in St. Landry Parish and be unfaithful to my wife. It is no longer the will of God. God wants me to be who before do. He's always about the heart and us becoming more Christ-like, the who before the do. Okay? Are y'all following me? I believe that God would rather me be anything that would keep me honest, integrous, kind, and Christ-like. He would rather me do anything than to be a pastor without it. So whether you're sitting here today, and I just want to say to you, whether you're going, I got some big decisions to make, Pastor, I don't know what to do. And I'm saying, no, go back to the who before the do, because whether you marry that person or wait, be faithful to Jesus. Become more like Christ. Whether you stay in the job or you take a new one, be faithful to Jesus. Whether you're going, I don't even know what to major in college, be faithful to Jesus, because who is more important to you than do? Who before do? God's will is more about who you are than what you do. So if you're becoming the right who, and here's the good news, if you're worried about, I just want to become the right who, I want to become Christ-like, I want to follow Jesus, if you'll just worry about that, I promise you, you will choose the right do in the end. I was thinking about this. Let me give you just a little backstory. Many of you know a little bit of Heidi's and that story. We started at Inner City Church in 1995. In Houston, Texas, inner city work, fourth ward. 5 years into it, that's when Pastor Jacob began to call Heidi and I about coming to join our Savior's Church staff right at the beginning to help him. And many of you know that story. We're like, we ain't coming. Ain't happening. Well, let me give you just a little backstory. Let me go back to 1995. Heidi and I are in Houston, and we're about getting ready. We're months away from launching the Inner City Church. And here's what most people don't know. We're getting ready to start it, and Pastor Jacob calls me. He's not a pastor. Our Savior's Church doesn't even exist yet. Nobody even knows it's going to exist. And he calls me and he says, hey, my son, Jacob Jr., is about to go into the youth ministry. My oldest son. And my home church, where he and Michelle attended, are looking for a youth pastor. And I thought, who would be the best youth pastor I've ever met to be my son's youth pastor? And I thought of you and Heidi. Would you come and interview with the pastor? And so all of a sudden now I got two options, right? I got options. Do we go to Lafayette and be the youth pastor? Or do we start this inner city church? I go to my pastor, who's going to help me start the inner city church. And I go to pastor, and I say, hey, Pastor Jacob, at those days, Jacob called me and wants me to come to Lafayette. And my pastor, who knew me and Jacob, said, you got to figure out what you want to do. He said, we got to make some decisions. Either you're going to stay here and start this work, or you need to go. And I said, I need to get away and just pray. And he said, why don't you go to my grandfather's farm? It's about an hour and a half from here. It's quiet. Nobody lives there anymore. I'll give you the key. You can walk, pray. You're out in the wilderness. Nobody knows. So I do. I go to the piney woods of kind of eastern Texas. I get out on this farm in the piney woods where somebody, his grandfather, years ago, plowed or cleared all of this land where he could bale hay and run cattle. And I'm walking through this place. I'm praying, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And then I broke into, Lord, I just want to follow you. I just want to be your man. Whatever you want me to do is fine. I just want to make sure I'm pleasing you. I want to make sure my who is right. And I'm just leaving the do up to you. Are y'all following me? And so I'm walking. His grandfather, I don't know why, in the middle of a hayfield, I know you don't do this in a hayfield, but he did. He left two pine trees this far apart, growing together. And I'm walking across this probably 100-acre field, and there's two pine trees in the middle, and I'm looking afar off, and the Lord speaks to me and says, see that pine tree? I'm looking at the pine tree, and I'm going, why did he leave pine tree in the middle of a hayfield? Why did he do that? And this pine tree was this far apart, two of them, about this big around, just up into the sky. And because they've grown together all these years, at the top, it looked like one pine tree, and at the bottom, it looked like two pine trees. And so I'm looking at that tree, I go, why did he do that? And the Lord began to speak to me and said, look at the top. I said, well, it's one pine tree. Look at the bottom. Well, it's two pine trees. And the Lord spoke and said, I'm going to give you a choice. The bottom is two. You can choose either one of them. But the top is one. Whichever way you choose will lead you to the right place. The Lord knew I was going to be standing on this stage one day. Whether I came to be a youth pastor or I came in 2001, it really didn't matter. He gave me a choice. I stayed there. Who was more important than do? If you become the who, he will lead you to the right place. You're always going to make it. Are you with me? Who is more important than do? Let me give you the second thought. And then there's the why, but for what? I need to know the will of God. I need to know who before do, and then I got this, what am I supposed to do for the Lord? Let me just tell you, it's always the why before the what. Who before do, Christ-like, and then the why before what. Motives matter to God. Yeah. What are your motives? In fact, let me show you, Proverbs 16:2 says this, you may think everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives, why you're even doing that. So sometimes it sounds good, but what's the real reason why you're doing that? Got a phone call this week from my son, William. Started something like this. Hey, Dad. Hey, Will, what's going on? Oh, not much. So can I do something for you? Yeah, I'm just checking in. Okay. Okay, everything going good? Yeah, things are going great. Now, I really just wanted to call to tell you Dad, you've been a great dad. Okay. Hey, thank you, Will. I appreciate it. And you've set a fine example for me to follow, and you and Mom. And I hope I find somebody just like Mom one day. And I mean this, Dad. You're one of the wisest men I know. And I just want you to know I love you. And I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. And things at the church are good. And Dad, I mean it. I just want to express my love and my gratitude for you and for Mama. How many of y'all know something else is coming down the track? How many of y'all with me? So he just goes on and on, and of course I let him go on, and I'm thinking what you're thinking right now. What is going to be at the end of this train? And then he goes, oh yeah, Dad, there's one more thing. Do you think me and my friends could come home in November and you could score me some LSU tickets to Arkansas? How many of you know you could just rewind and erase everything else he just said before, because he had one motive in mind, wasn't it? He wanted to score some LSU tickets. He knows who to call. He was buttering. He's a professional butter upper. That sounds bad, but you know what I'm saying. I could say upper. No, yeah. Butter upper. And why, God always weighs the motives. He wants to know, why are you doing that? What is it? David said, search my heart, O God, that there be no wicked way in me, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Even our minds can justify things. And here's what I want you to hear today. You can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives. Amen. Let me say it again. You can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives. It's who before do, and then it's why before what. Can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives, and if you won't do the right what if you're driven by the wrong why. Let me give you some examples. Should I buy the car? Why? Because are you really just looking for transportation, or are you trying to make a statement that you can't afford? Oh, it's going to get better here in a second. You ready? I'm going there. Why did you post that photo? Why did you even post it? Was it to honor Jesus? Or was it to draw attention to yourself that you're so lonely that you needed the likes? You like me, like me, like me. Oh, I got 100. Oh, I've seen some of you. Dear Lord, Jesus was not in the room when you took that picture. He was not in the room. Are you so lonely that you were, and you know what those likes are? You know what, just to make you feel better? You know what people are doing? They just scrolling. Oh, that's cute. They don't even like you. They don't even like you. They don't really like you. They just like the shoes you are wearing. Yeah, I like those shoes. I hate her, but I like those shoes. The only reason why they're following you so they can keep up with you. He wants to know what are the real motives. Can you get to the point, I guess for all of us, I'm asking that I just really want to please God. I just want to please God. I just want to make God smile. Watch what Paul wrote in Colossians 3:17, where Paul wrote, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Again, God's not, he's not putting the do on the front burner. He's putting the who and the why on the front burner. If you just worry about the who and the why, then the do and the what will take care of itself. Are y'all tracking with me when I say that? Yeah, he said, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, I want you to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, whatever you do. In other words, wherever you are, wherever you're at today, wherever you're at today. You may not like where you're at today. I don't even like my job. I hate my job. Then you need to serve and do it as unto the Lord. My boss is a jerk. Serve the jerk. In the name of Jesus, do what's right. And if you'll worry about that, God will take care of everything else. If you'll learn, that may even be the very lesson that he's trying to teach all of us. I could say that even as a church. I don't like setting up. I saw one of our men today and just thanked him again. I've thanked him often, but I don't think I've thanked him appropriately. I just grabbed him by the shoulders and went, we just did the math. We have set up and broke down over 400 times through the years. Set it up, break it down 400 times. That's not including soul nights and elevates and all the extra. I said, thank you. Thank you again. He goes, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I wouldn't have done it if I'd known we were going to have to do it 400 times. I said, how many of those were you here? Were you actually physically here? He said, 399. Come on, somebody ought to give that man some praise. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. That was Cain. Thank you, Cain. Whatever you do, wherever you are, serve Christ there. Make that decision today. If you're just to go, I don't like my job, I'm not making enough money. Serve Christ there today. Do the best you can. If you're flipping burgers, make the best burger you possibly can in the name of Jesus. Do it well. Whatever you're doing, you may be a stay-home mom and go, you're working at home and you go, I just got all these kids. Clean up the poop like you've never cleaned it before in the name of Jesus. Just do it. God's will is who before do and the why before the what. The truth is, pleasing God is not a bunch of big decisions. Pleasing God is a bunch of little decisions every single day. Pick up your cross daily, daily, and follow me. Jesus' words. Just pick them up daily. When you're driving, daily, do it as unto the Lord. Quit flipping people off in traffic. I've seen some of you. Some of you flip me off in traffic. And I'm your pastor. Should I go there? No. Just today. Just worry about who today and the why today. And God will take care of the do. You'll end up following a path and you go, how did you get there? You go, I don't even know. It was God who opened every door and led, and he put me here, and it was all God. And I just want to give God all the praise and the glory. Amen? That can be your testimony. I started thinking, and Vic's going to help me close. I got 3 minutes. But started thinking, I asked Heidi yesterday, I couldn't remember. Let me skip that story. Come to the next service. I'll add that story back. Let me get to this story. I gotta land it. Many of you know, Heidi and I just went on our sabbatical. And we got back, and let me tell you the conversations on the sabbatical a little bit. Not the details, but just the conversation. We started talking about the end. Like, where are we going to end? We're coming to the age now, I'm 52. Little encouragement, please. Oh, you look good, Pastor. You look good for your age. That means you're old. When they say for your age, that means you're old. You look good for your age. And we started talking about the end. We go, how much longer are we going to do this? Right? Now, we still got to, we're on our last run. I'm 52. You know, if you retire at 65, you got another 13 years. You know, you got to. Then we started recounting our life. We weren't talking. Here's what we weren't talking. Isn't it neat how God has used us to start churches? Never said. Isn't it neat how God's used us in Opelousas? Never said. What we did talk about, and I'm sure when we do hang it up, we'll talk about the faithfulness of God through our life. We'll talk about the private sacrifices that we've made that we'll never go public with. That's not even important. It's just between us and God. We recounted times where we were falsely accused by the enemy and how God vindicated us every single time. If we would just kept our heart right, checked our motives, why are we really doing this? Made sure those were pure before God, and then letting him come and fight the battles for you. It's so beautiful. He loves you so much. He really is a good daddy. He's a good daddy. And you, if your father's in here, you can mess with anybody. Just don't mess with my kids. You mess with my kids. Fred Sanford, hold me back. Some kids, they don't know what I'm talking about, do they? Y'all remember Fred Sanford when he'd get mad? What was the name of that show? Sanford Son, yeah. Oh, if you just who and why and just take care of that today, then you won't have to worry about the what is the will of God for my life. No, just worry about today. Jesus even said, consider the lilies of the field. They don't spin and toil. I'll clothe them. Birds of the air, they don't worry about their food. I take care of them. And how much more I care for you. You're my kids. I care for you. I'll tend to that because the responsibility that we have is the who and the why. The responsibility that God has is what we're going to do and what we're going to become. That's his responsibility, not ours. And we'll just leave it up to him as long as we take care of the who and the why. You're on a head-on collision for your destiny. Yeah. So where are you at today? Where are you at? Where are you at? Get a frantic phone call one night. One of my daughters, I won't name her, Hannah, just started driving. She took her first big trip into Lafayette. It's at night. She's coming home from a track meet or something. And I get this phone call, Dad! Hannah, what's wrong? I don't know. I'm lost. Where are you? That's the next question, right? I'm lost. I don't know. I'm lost. That's why I'm calling you. I don't know where I am. I said, do you know what road you're on? I don't know. Which direction are you going? I don't know what direction I'm going. Is there anything you could see around you? There's this stuff. What stuff? Is there a sign? Can you read a sign? Wait, there's one coming. There's one coming. Crowley. For our guests from Birmingham, that's going east to Houston instead of coming west on I-10, or west to Houston instead of coming east. I said, so you're in Crowley? You're Crowley. Where's Crowley, Dad? Are you, baby, you're a long way. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to exit. We're going to hang a U-ey. And we're going to go back the other way because you're going the wrong way. Are you going the wrong way? I mean, you're saying, but Pastor, I want to be married. That's a destination. That's a destination. I want to be married. That's a destination, right? I want to be married. That's a destination. So you date a playa. Baby, you're going the wrong. You're going the wrong direction. Listen, are you? So let's take care of the direction, the who and the do, who and the why. Let's take care of the direction. God will take care of the destination if you do it His way. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? I'm just giving you an example. It could be anything. Your businesses. And you're not doing it right. And you know it. And then expecting God to bless it. But your motives are wrong. Your motives are wrong. What's your motive? I love some of our business guys and girls, both of them. They go, Pastor, we got to build that church. Pray for my business. They know there's the motive is right to what they're doing because we got to build that church. Are you tracking with me? I want to make sure just today you got the who in the right place and the why in the right place. Then you can leave the rest of that up to God. And I promise you, where that destination is, we don't really ever get to the destination until we get to heaven. God will always be working on all of us all the rest of our days. You never really arrive in Christianity until Jesus comes back and takes us home to be with Him. So let's check our who's and let's check our why's today. Amen. Do you receive this word? Balcony, you receive this word? Y'all receive this word? I want you to bow your heads. I want to pray with you and for you. Father, we do. Holy Spirit, would you just say that? Say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. May there be no wicked way in me. I'm going to trust you with the who, and I'm going to trust you with the why. Lord, we want to travel your direction. Take my life. May I become more like you. I choose to pick up my cross today. Today. And follow you. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, the greatest decision that you could ever make, and it is the will of God. In fact, it is the will of the Lord. In fact, He said in His word that He would not be willing that any would perish, but everyone would come to the saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus. And today, with every head bowed and eye closed, Christians, you're praying. Today, I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? Not have you been christened, not have you been baptized, but have you been born again? Jesus said in John chapter 3, no one can see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until they've been born again. How do we become born again? How do I do that, Pastor Yu? Well, it's easy. It's A, first you just got to admit that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short. You're sitting in a room of bona fide professional sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short. But B, you believe that Christ alone, the reason why Jesus came to earth was to live a sinless life so that He could be the sin bearer, the substitute, the penalty payer for our sin, our shame, and our guilt. And then C, all you have to do is confess Him as Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed today, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus as your Lord. He's here today. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. All you have to do is ask Him, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. I want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, you pray for me today. That's me. I want to pray for you right now. Every head bowed and eye closed. No one's looking but me. If you'll just lift your hand up high all over this building, hold it up high. Pastor, remember me in this prayer. I see it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I see it. 12. I see 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21. I'm looking in the balcony. 21 hands. I see 21. Awesome. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. And I believe that on the cross, You took my sin, my shame, and my guilt. And You died for it. I believe that You faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God all the praise for that? Thank you, Jesus.